The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I love you. Remain in my love. You will remain in my love if you keep my commandments, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated, everyone. The beautiful wedding we are celebrating today is a long prehistory, one that goes back beyond Connor's proposal to Marie on a cold New England day last March after pizza and cannolis in Boston's famous North End. It goes back well beyond their first date, March 25th, 2016, at IHOP on Soldiers Field Road. It extends far beyond the time that they met, September 3rd, 2014, during calculus class, their first day at Harvard. It goes back even further than the days more than two decades ago, when their parents, Barry and Lynn, and Sean and Laura, got the joyful news they were expecting. As Mrs. Roberts said last night at the wedding rehearsal dinner, Connor and Maria come from a lot of love on both sides, a love that extends beyond their grandparents and great-grandparents, down the roots of their respective family trees, stretching all the way back to before those roots were united, before God in the beginning said, "Let there be light." So we heard in the first reading that our bride and groom chose, from the first chapter, the first book of the Bible, God has a plan for them and for us. And he indicated this plan when he said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness." And God created us in his image, male and female, and blessed us, giving us the capacity to be fertile and multiply, giving us the privilege as creatures to participate in his power as creator to bring new life into the world and to share his dominion over the rest of creation. The upshot of the Genesis account is that God, whom St. John tells us is love, has created the human person in his image and likeness in love and for love. And since no one can love in a vacuum, God could not have been solitary. There needed to be a lover and a beloved. And their mutual love was so strong that it could take on personality. But we see in the loving, eternal communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creating the human person, therefore, God created not just a him, not just a her, but a them, male and female. He created marriage, a loving communion between man and woman, whose love for each other could be so strong that they could literally make love and generate new life as a fruit of their loving communion of persons. From that first marriage of Adam and Eve to your marriage, Connor and Maria, marriage was created by God to be a sacrament of love, a covenant of self-giving, to help you grow more and more into the divine image and at the same time become more and more fully and truly human. That's why what is happening today is so important. Today, as Christians have believed and taught from the first centuries, you are not only receiving a sacrament, a sign and means of intimate communion with God, But you are becoming a sacrament, a visible sign, as Pope John Paul II used to say, pointing to the invisible reality of the Trinitarian loving communion of persons. You have been called, as Jesus said in today's gospel, chosen and commissioned by God to be not just a living reminder of the fruitful, faithful, and indissoluble love of God for his people, not just to reflect efficaciously in your own marriage Christ's love for his bride, the church, but to preach that gospel of human love and the divine plan in words and in body language for as long as you both shall live. We are celebrating your nuptials within the context of the octave of Christmas. At the vigil mass for Christmas, Catholics pondered Isaiah's word about God's love that would take flesh in Jesus, the word of God made man. Isaiah said, "As a young man marries a virgin, so shall your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall God rejoice in you." The prophet Hosea echoed that same foretelling when he proclaimed, "I will espouse you to me forever. I will espouse you in right, in justice, in love, and in mercy. I will espouse you in fidelity, and you shall know the Lord." The whole mystery of Christmas not only can be read, but has and should be read, as it has been from the earliest ages of the church, an espousal key. And the marriage of Christians is meant to share in and reflect this great loving covenant between God and his people. That's why St. Paul would write in his letter to the Ephesians that the marriage of Christians participates in and flows from God's spousal covenant, commenting on the words of Genesis that Jesus himself would invoke in the gospel. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." St. Paul said, "This is a great mystery, and I'm speaking in reference to Christ in the church." Another way, the marriage between Christians, your marriage, Maria and Connor, is meant to be an image of Christ's marriage to the church, and not the other way around. That's why St. Paul challenged the first Christians and young spouses of every age to be subordinate to each other, to be submissive to one another, precisely out of reverence for Christ, to see the image of Christ in each other, to be like Christ for the other, to seek to love each other as Christ has loved you first. He then gets specific. He tells husbands the most challenging words in sacred scripture. "Love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed his life over to make her holy." Connor, Christ, who calls you to love Maria in this way, will give you the strength you need to love according to this standard, to love her by laying down your life for her in ways big and small, ordinary and extraordinary. But St. Paul doesn't allow wives off the hook. He calls you, Maria, to be subordinate to your husband as to the Lord. In other words, to try to love Connor with the fervor with which you love Jesus. Inspire Connor to lay down his life for you, for your family, for Christ, by your loving receptivity of his self-gift, so that he might do so not as a burden, but as joy. This is the standard of love to which Jesus calls you in the gospel you chose. He tells you, "Love one another just as I have loved you," and reminds you that no one has any greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. And I rejoice that you are already striving to love each other according to this metric, to relate to each other with the very love of God. You pray together. You read sacred scripture and so many other good spiritual books together. You talk about and to God together. In our conversations in preparation for marriage, you told me, Maria, "All love is sacrificial. It wants the best for the other and cares for them. But marital love is different because it mimics God's love, meaning that spouses always put each other first." It continued, "Marriage is a sacrament because it confers graces that will allow us both to draw closer to God. By putting the other first, we will be living out what Jesus says in the gospel when he says we must die to self in order to live. By becoming one flesh and living in selfless love as a married couple, we can grow closer to God and begin to understand the love he has for the church. Connor, you told me with similar depth and beauty, marriage is an outstanding model for the unconditional commitment that Christ makes to man. Regardless of human fault, Christ offers forgiveness and love. Without this understanding that you'll need to forgive and that your spouse is faulted, no marriage can last. In commenting on how God freely gives us graces that we can never truly deserve, you stated, Maria has been and is a gift. And the opportunity to give myself and commit to her and love her beyond earthly influences is an outstanding gift for which I am so thankful to God. And you concluded, to me, marriage is a commitment to love Maria with everything I am, to be faithful to her, to raise children with her, and to teach those children about God, to put her above myself and protect her, to provide for her in the best way I can so that she can continue to live a happy and faithful life. The type of love to which Christ calls you in marriage is demanding. Every married couple here will attest that it's demanding. Calls you not merely to the type of extraordinary heroism in which you would lay down your life for each other, but also to that daily heroism in little things to which St. Paul summons you in his first letter to the Corinthians, which we heard earlier today. True love, he emphasized, is patient, kind, not jealous or pompous, arrogant or rude, self-seeking or quick-tempered. Doesn't brood over injury or rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth and bears, believes, hopes, and endures everything. Love, in short, is virtuous and seeks to imitate Jesus' patience, kindness, humility, meekness, joy in the truth, and holy perseverance. This type of love is worth more, St. Paul said, than speaking in prophetic tongues or having the faith to translocate mountain ranges into the sea. If you don't have this type of love, St. Paul said, in the final analysis you will have and be nothing more than clashing cymbals. In 21st century terms, if you have everything that our world equates with happiness, great health, careers, friends, portfolio, but don't have this type of Christ-like love, you will lack the most important thing of all. But if you have it, and even if you don't have all the rest, then you will be able to help each other to endure to the unending happiness of heaven. And I rejoice that you have found these types of virtues in each other. Maria, you wrote extensively about how hardworking, loving, and virtuous Connor is, how just being around him has stopped you from complaining as much as you once did, because you find it impossible to do so around him, because he helps you to see life through another's shoes, how to transcend another's pettiness, and how to see the good even when it's hard. Connor, you said how much you admire Maria's priorities and holy habits, that even though she's like so many other Harvard undergrads in having high goals, drive, and talent, you discovered her to be the most grounded person you had ever met, with her priorities being simple and good, faith, family, and friends. You praised how she makes you even more giving and grateful by the way she never ceases to bring you sandwiches and cookies when you need them, how she thanks you for the smallest things you do, and how she writes the sweetest cards, filling you with wonder and strengthening the way you feel about yourself and inspiring you to want to do more. Despite his debunked claims, Al Gore didn't write Love Story about two Harvard undergrads in the 1960s. You both are writing a true love story. Or better yet, God is authoring one through you and in you by your faithful cooperation. And the good news is, He's just getting started. What you're doing today in getting married here at this beautiful church of St. William is a courageous and countercultural act. Today, so many are afraid of making a commitment, especially a commitment that's for better or worse, richer or poorer, health or sickness, all the days of one's life. Seeing so many relationships break down, many millennials and iGens today prefer to keep their options open. They refuse to entrust their future to another. They seek to receive some of the comfort and benefits that come from relationships that in many outward ways resemble marriage, but without giving themselves totally to what God desires and true love entails. Many others today are confused about what marriage is, with some thinking it's just romantic symbolism or a piece of paper or a temporary union as long as two shall love, or a changing reality whose meaning can be defined or redefined by the parties themselves or the popular culture or the courts. You're making a public act today in contrast to the spirit of the age that marriage means something and something essential to human happiness and flourishing. Today, you're professing together publicly that you're entering not into a contract that you can get out of as easy as any contract signed, but rather a covenant, a sacred commitment, not just to each other, but to God, consecrating your love in a special way within the love of God who created you, brought you together, and who today is making a sacred commitment to accompany you for richer or poorer, for better or worse, in sickness and in health, all your days. You're publicly professing your faith that you desire not just to make the other happy, but to be God's instrument to help make the other holy. You're avowing that the gift you ultimately want to give each other is not just a beautiful ring or the exchange of a last name or even the gift of yourself, however faithful, fruitful, free, and total. Rather, you're publicly affirming that you're seeking to give God to each other, to help the other grow in God's image and likeness. You're professing that you want your bond truly to be a holy matrimony, one that will lead you, hand in hand, we pray, down the nave of a sanctuary far more beautiful than this, down the heavenly Jerusalem for a nuptial banquet that will know no end. Please permit me one last thought. I cannot get beyond the symbolism of your first date. At first glance, it might seem very strange for a Catholic, but I think in God's eternal providence, it couldn't be more fitting. March 25th, 2016, was Good Friday. Catholics are to do on that day a somewhat severe fast, having only one meal that day. But that was the day you asked Connor to join you at IHOP to break that fast, Maria. Your first date was on the date the Church commemorates Jesus Christ's love for you on Calvary to the point of death. I hope that every date you have, every day of your life, every meal that you will share, you will do so within the same context of Christ's sacrificial love for both of you. You're getting married, and you can't miss it because it's enormous, before the beautiful San Damiano crucifix, famous in church history, because the original of this iconic symbol of Jesus' love on the cross spoke in 1206 to St. Francis of Assisi in a dilapidated church on the slopes of his hometown. It said to him, "Francis, rebuild my church, which you can see is falling into ruin." Francis thought that the Lord was asking him to rebuild that tiny chapel, which he summarily did stone by stone. But over the course of time, he began to realize that what Jesus was asking of him was to rebuild the church as a whole, which is constructed not out of marble, wood, bricks, and glass, but out of men, women, boys, and girls, what St. Peter in his first letter would call living stones, built on Christ the cornerstone. Connor and Maria, today Jesus Christ, through the words of the gospel, is speaking to you. And he's telling you to help him rebuild his church, one living stone at a time, by erecting your whole life on him and inspiring others to join you in that holy construction project. As St. John Paul II used to stress, to a large extent, the future of humanity and the future of his church, which is threatened now in so many ways, will pass by way of the family and true Christian spousal love. Christian marriage, he emphasized, is a great adventure and a great task. It's to that adventuresome task that Christ now joins your hands and sets them to the plow of his vineyard, encouraging you to help each other never look back. We pray that God, who has begun this good work in both of you and brought you here before this crucifix, will nourish your sacred vocation and mission to holy matrimony and bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. May Christ from the cross bless you both, and through your faithful Christ-like love for each other, continue to bless us all. Praise be Jesus Christ.